Dr. Sarah Jane Belton, lecturer in physical education at Dublin City University School of Health and Human Performance. Good morning, Dr. Belton. How are you?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
I'm in great form this morning. Thank God.
Excellent.
You're going to tell us about the YPAT PE for Me programme. Tell us what all that's about.
Yeah, so YPAT PE for Me is a physical activity, or really a physical literacy program that we've developed at DCU over about 10 years worth of work, working with colleagues in University College Cork, working with Sport Ireland, working with the PDSC, and most primarily working with the Irish Heart Foundation, really joining forces to try and develop something that can make a difference and make an impact in terms of the physical activity levels of Irish children. We have a huge problem in Ireland, as we do internationally, in fact, in that our children that should be active at least 60 minutes a day, getting enough physical activity to get their heart working, their lungs working, to keep them healthy effectively, we're simply not getting it. We have our 12-year-olds, about 12%, between 12 and 20% of our 12-year-olds are actually getting enough physical activity to benefit their health. And that problem gets worse as they get older and older. So what we've done with YPAT PE for Me is develop something with PE teachers that will work in schools to help and improve the physical activity and the physical literacy levels of Irish young people.
Yeah, we hear it spoken about quite a bit about the epidemic of obesity around Europe and all kind of developed countries. And Ireland's at that kind of the top of the league table there, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, it's not an enviable place to be, but certainly in terms of overweight and obesity, we're falling far behind, and we have a huge problem. And I suppose overweight and obesity, the two primary causes that we would see of that is, you know, poor diet. So it comes down to nutrition and physical activity. Of course, there are other factors and other reasons, but they're the two most common issues that we have. And, you know, really young people, and I mean, it's not just young people, that's a problem for adults, kids alike, just need to know a little bit more and learn a little bit more about to keep their bodies healthy. So in terms of physical activity, certainly it is one of the key ways to actually affect weight, to improve weight and to maintain a positive and healthy weight. But there's a lot of other benefits as well. The things that you don't see, in fact, can be far more dangerous than the things that you can see. Overweight, obesity is an outward sign, you know, that perhaps things aren't quite right and that we need to make some lifestyle changes. But the things that we can see are the risk of chronic heart disease, the risk of type 2 diabetes, the increased risk of cancer. There are some very, very serious consequences of poor levels of physical activity and sedentary behaviour, this just not moving for our children. And what we know is children that don't develop positive habits in terms of physical activity in their youth are far more likely to grow into adults that don't have these positive habits, and therefore adults that are at greater risk of overweight, obesity, plus the other range of chronic diseases that are associated with poor activity.
And of course, this being Mental Health Awareness Week, physical exercise also helps your mental health as well.
That's right. I mean, the benefits of physical activity are so far-reaching, and it fundamentally comes down to the fact that as human beings, our bodies are designed to move. We're designed to be people that move and are active and carry out physical tasks. And when we stop doing that, all of our systems are affected. So in terms of, you know, anxiety, stress, depression, we know that physical activity can help and relieve the symptoms of all of these. That it can actually be a really useful tool for people in terms of trying to deal with these mental health issues, and can also have a prophylactic effect in that if you do manage to maintain a good, healthy, active lifestyle and you know, good nutrition that can go with it, you actually protect yourself in many ways from some of the chronic mental health problems that can arise.
I'm just thinking back to my own days when I was 12 to 15 in school, and I'm just trying to think that it was kind of the opposite. The teachers were actually trying to keep us still. Now, that may be just the mad feckers I went to school with, but we were bouncing off the walls, and every chance we got, we were out playing football in the yard. We were, you name it, we were going. But of course, then we didn't have all the plethora of computer games and you name it, smartphones, everything else to keep our minds active. The only thing we had was to get out there and run and be free.
That's right. And, you know, our society has changed so dramatically in that regard. More and more we have machines doing work for us, you know, whether it's the car to drive us somewhere instead of where we may have, you know, walked or cycled before, or whether it's, you know, you see people now using lawnmowers that are little robots that just let them out at night and they cut the grass for them, where before, you know, we would have been pushing a lawnmower. So in every facet of our life, we've more and more technology and machines to do more and more. And we've more and more technology to provide that distraction, or as you say, keep the mind busy. And sometimes for parents, you come home from work, you're wrecked tired, you're trying to get the dinner ready, to try and make sure the kids, the homework's done, and so on and so forth. The easiest thing quite often is to say, well, I'm going to turn on the television and I'm going to sit them down there and I'm actually going to let them just entertain themselves in a nice, safe environment. But it's the danger of that is that it becomes the norm for children, you know. And as you say, at school, when you were younger, you were out running around whatever you could. That may have been the case for you, it may not have been the case for some other kids in the schools. And we see big gender differences in terms of preferences for physical activity at school. But the fact is, we need every child to be active, every opportunity they can get. They need 60 minutes a day at least of physical activity of moderate intensity. That's quite a few minutes. You know, we need at lunchtime, we need to be promoting children to be active. But we need kind of a whole school approach where it's not just the PE teacher that's encouraging physical activity and teaching for physical activity and teaching for physical literacy and health. That message needs to be supported by the whole school. And we need to provide as many opportunities as we can for children to be active. And that doesn't mean just competitive activities. You know, the activities we most often lay on are the competitive Gaelic football or the hockey for the teams. But it's the other kids, the 20% that we don't have to worry about are the ones that are on those teams. It's the other 80%. What do we provide for the other kids in terms of participation, to encourage participation and to foster positive attitudes towards it?
Well, I can tell you, I went to O'Connell School up on the North Circular Road, and we had a very, very large yard. Now, there was maybe 400 or 500 kids in the school. But I can tell you this, when we played a game of football, it wasn't 11 aside. You're talking it was 100, 150 aside. And you just didn't know what was happening. It was, everybody was running everywhere. There could have been multiple balls in play at the one time. And it was just chaos. It was great fun.
Yeah, no, and that can work really well. I mean, more often what I'd see when you have, you know, a lot of kids playing in one game with one ball, you know, even 11-a-side, you know, at a younger age, quite often you have 4 or 5 people that are in that game are actually exercising well. They're actually meeting the moderate to vigor threshold. They're getting good physical activity. The rest tend to be standing around and not really moving that much. So it's creating the situations and creating the environment where every kid is encouraged to move and move well and move often and actually get that the heart and lungs working, that cardiovascular system working. And that's where the health benefit really comes from, you know. So it's both that they're not sitting down. That's one thing. If we can get them up off their bums and doing something, you know, be it like that, a 30-a-side soccer game, or maybe they're not getting to the moderate vigorous intensity, but at least they're moving, that is beneficial. And that's one thing we have to do. But the other side of it, we have to provide the opportunities and encourage children to get those 60 minutes a day where they are actually working that cardiovascular system. There are huge health benefits there that we need the children to accrue.
Dr. Belton, I know you're under pressure. You have a lot of stuff on this morning, so I'm not going to keep you. But just one last thing I'm going to say to you. I was brought up in Fairview, on Phyllis Pick Avenue, and when we were kids, we'd go out to play, and we'd go round onto Bryan Road, part of the larger Merino scheme. But when you went around there would be a few hundred kids out on the road playing, and they were all being organised by the older girls. The older girls seemed to take charge, and they had all the kids doing all different activities, you know, whether it be hopscotch or hide and seek or you name it, was all going on there. We've seemed to have lost that type of play.
Yeah, no, we have, and that, I think, is probably the saddest thing for our society at the moment. And really, it comes down to two things. One, parents feel less secure in letting their children out in that kind of context now. Whether it's true or not, the perceived environment isn't as safe as it was. you know, we don't perceive that it's as safe to allow our children out in that way. So for that reason, there are less children out. But the other thing, as we already spoke, it's technology. Those children are now far more interested in sitting inside on their smartphone, whether they're on Facebook or WhatsApp or whatever is popular for kids at the moment, whether that's what they're doing, or whether they're actually gaming remotely with each other, whether they're watching television, whether they're, you know, there's so much now to entertain kids that they don't have to move from their seat to access. Whereas before, as you said, if you wanted any sort of diversion from absolute boredom, you went outside and played. But technology has removed that now. So we now, as a population and as parents, as teachers and so on and so forth, we have to re-engineer situations now to get our children moving. And if we don't, we're going to suffer dire consequences.
Dr. Belton, I'm not going to keep you any longer, but I'd love maybe at some stage to come back to you and chat for a longer time with you about this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you very much for talking to us this morning. All the best. Bye-bye.